Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard of FanRagSports.com. Alongside me, not physically, but in spirit and from a distance, is Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Through the radio waves.
Is it radio waves? What are these waves? Internet waves? Is that a thing?
Well, yeah, I guess it's fiber optics.
You know how many people I've talked to that listen to our podcast that think we're in the same room when we do this? Like a lot of people. Yeah, they said it sounds like we're in the same room, which I guess is good, but we're actually several states apart.
Did you just give me the crappy mic then?
I don't know. Does your mic sound crappy on the... I don't know.
It just sounds different. Reviews.
Yeah, that's probably true. We are talking more about pass rushers today. We are talking about Ohio State's tandem of pass rushers, which they have more than two, actually, if you think about it. But we're talking about Tyquan Lewis and Sam Hubbard today. And keep in mind, Ohio State, like I said, they do have a good overall assortment of pass rushers. A guy by the name of Nick Bosa is there.
Never heard of him.
That sound familiar to you?
Never heard of him.
Sound like he could be related to anyone that we know and love.
No.
Joey Bosa's little brother.
Not ringing bells.
Of course, he's only a true sophomore. But Jalen Holmes is a senior and number 11 for them, and he's another guy that we could be eventually circling back to. Played in a part-time role last year, but 6'5", 270. I imagine that'll get some attention leading up to the draft coming from Ohio State. But Sam Hubbard and Tyquan Lewis, before we get to that, though, and just quickly as an aside, did you see the Las Vegas Golden Knights new jerseys? NHL franchise expansion team.
And
on a scale of 1 to 10, how horrible did you find them? 10 being the best.
I think that they could have done much, much better with it. But I love the white gloves. Like, the white gloves are fly.
You're particular. I mean, I don't disagree with you on the gloves. The rest of it is a train wreck.
It's just not good. Like, they could have, like, if they would have gone with, you know, the crest that they have in the middle, the knight crest.
Right.
Okay. If you just take that crest, leave it gold, and then basically do what the Lightning have with their jerseys, where the entire rest of the jersey is black, and then there's that little stripe of gold.
Yes.
Those would be
less
sick.
Is more. Right.
Those would be sick.
Agreed. But the red stripe out of nowhere on the arm, what is that?
It's awful.
Here's the color scheme working from the shoulder down. It's like a black and gray, like kind of like, it looks like a plaid almost, black and gray, like interchanging. Do you see if you're looking at it or whatever? And then it's like a gray on like a little patch of like your deltoid or whatever. And then black where the number goes. Then a gold, like big thick gold band around where the elbow is. Right below that, a thin red band for no reason whatsoever. Red isn't even in the rest of the jersey.
It's just a very hockey jersey.
It's so weird.
Like, that's not a good thing. Like, you and I both love hockey, and it's great, but some of these concepts they have for these jerseys are just terrible. Like, that's why I love the Lightning's jersey. It's just the logo, the color, that's it.
Right.
And you get, like, one other stripe on the arm, and that's it.
Less
and those
is
are
so much more. The one shade of, like, they have, like, four shades of gray in the Vegas jersey, two shades of black, and then red and gold. It's, like, just too much, man. Just chill.
You can't. Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about teams with simple jerseys in Ohio State. We talked about where we watched Tyquan Lewis and Sam Hubbard in anticipation for this podcast. They're two pass rushers that I think get the most attention right now. What were your thoughts on Tyquan Lewis, who I think has now played 41 games there, started 26 and been a captain twice?
Yeah. Ohio State is so tough to judge because they're so much better than everybody else. And that was kind of like the thing with Joey Bosa is like, I loved him and he was dominant, but like Ohio State's defense just for the last 4 or 5 years has just been so good that I'm almost like, I don't even know what these guys are like at NFL competition level. And Bosa's obviously proved to be phenomenal, and that skill is fully translated with him. But here I am again in like the same dilemma with Lewis and Hubbard, because where I like them as players, I don't know like how dominant they can be. Like I thought – I've got to go back and I guess save myself and say that like I did think that Joey Bosa could be dominant in the NFL. But with these guys, it's a little bit more murky for me, because I look at certain things that they do well, and a lot of it is – now, correct me if I'm wrong, but like a lot of what they do well is just straight up effort and bullying people.
Yep.
Like I don't see a ton of – I don't see pass rush moves really from him or Hubbard. A lot of Lewis's sacks are, you know, him going right at the offensive lineman, trying to bull rush him or trying to get around him or something. He doesn't have great bend. But then, you know, if the quarterback comes back, climbs back up the pocket, because guess what? The rest of the pocket's decaying as well, because the rest of the defensive line is so good. Then Lewis can kind of just rip off his offensive lineman going back up the other way towards where the line of scrimmage is and gets a sack often that way. So he's a big effort guy, and he has good strength. He has a great motor for a defensive lineman, stuff that I like. But in terms of like elite traits, you know, first round traits, I don't know. It's just hard to pick them up. I think that he's a solid defensive lineman, but I don't know really what much I can say beyond that he is solid. You know, do I think he'll have a place in the NFL? Sure, I think he'll play in the NFL. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard first round talk with Tyquan Lewis, and I don't really see it. Just because I can't pinpoint something where I'm like, yes, that's going to translate. That's going to be a day one trade. That's why this guy's going to be a starting NFL defensive end. I don't know. I don't really see it.
Yeah, you could see the lack of change of direction in his tape. I mean, again, like you said, I think he plays with great effort and intensity. Definitely a physical player, but not a great athlete. And there's your first knock on in terms of the what you need to become a great pass rusher for most athleticism, and not just any type of athleticism, but functional athleticism. You know, the ability to bend around contact, the ability to be explosive in your first step, and have those twitched up muscles in your lower half. You just don't see a lot of that with Tyquan Lewis. He does have a pretty good first step, I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he doesn't cover much ground up the arc. There was a point he was actually like leaping into his fourth step. Once he got to like the tackle's hip, he was kind of leaping forward like he was trying to cover a little bit more ground and get to that edge a little quicker. But he just doesn't have that those type of tools to really threaten the edge with any type of bend, or like he got run up the arc a ton. Did not think he showed the ability to kind of flatten that corner at all, give himself a softer edge. His hands are okay, but there's nothing there that I would say is like transcendent for him. He has a rip move, that's about it. I think he's got to be more violent and precise with those hands, and no counter moves. He is pretty if there's one thing he has going for him as a pass rusher, he's a little bit quick up the arc. You've got to be able to take advantage of that when the tackle gets his hips around and kind of squares you up at the top of the arc, get back inside of him, or, you know, when they turn and face the sideline, get back inside of him quickly. And he just didn't really show that on tape. He didn't really show the ability to counter, you know, with a real smooth plan of attack or anything like that. I just think there's not a lot of intricacy to what he does as a pass rusher. A lot of his stuff does come due to effort. His production comes due to effort. And I don't know that he's going to be ever a good enough player in space to really be a guy that you can move around or do much with flexibility wise. You know, I think he's only a defensive end, and as technical as I think he is against the run, I don't see a difference maker there due to lack of overwhelming, like there's no trait to hang your hat on. He's not super powerful. He's not super athletic. He's not even the most technically sound, you know, savvy player out there. So I just am not sure what Tyquan Lewis does that makes him a preferable starter in the NFL. Can he be a depth guy? For sure. Is he, we're talking about like a mid round depth guy, you know, a guy that you take or, you know, early round four and you're pretty happy with as a third or fourth defensive end. Sure. But a guy that you can hang your hat on as an NFL starter. I don't know, man. Like, would you prefer to have those type of limitations in your starting lineup? Not that he couldn't be thrust into that role, but I'm not sure that I see a guy whose upside suggests NFL starter high end.
I could see, and yeah, I think the keyword there at the end is high end, because I could see him in a starting role for a couple of years for a team and having good success, but like they've got to have a different kind of edge rusher on the other side. You know, it can't be you're looking for Tyquan Lewis to be your main pass rusher. I think that he's got to be kind of like a complement pass rusher. And two, that's now remember, we're saying all of this And I know he has a lot of games under his belt, but we're saying all this with another year of him to go. Like, he still has another year to see if he can show anything else. And obviously the athleticism, him being the athlete that he is, that's not really going to change. But he can get better with his hands. He can learn a couple different moves here, and he can be more precise with how he attacks the pocket. And who knows? We could see something like that this year. But it's yeah, like I said, it's hard to judge Ohio State players like that just because they're normally so much better than their competition. And that makes it, you know, they can almost do whatever they want and they can get away with it. And then here we are in their final year, we're kind of judging them as prospects. And it's like, oh, well, you know, you really don't do this. You know, your bend's not great. You don't have a lot of pass rush moves. You're not as decisive as you need to be. And all of a sudden it's like, wait, where did it, you know, like, where did the time go? Where did my success go? Like, what is up with that? But, yeah, I think that if we're talking about right now, those are the things that he could get better at in the second year, or not second year, his third year is in a starting role. But right now, yeah, I'm not buying the day one talk with Tyquan Lewis. Although I think that he would be a good defensive end to have on your football team, I don't think he's a guy that I would spend a top 32 pick on.
Sam Hubbard, on the other hand, is getting maybe even more attention. And keep this in mind, Tyquan Lewis, a four-star prospect. These are consensus from 24/7 Sports. But Sam Hubbard, a five-star prospect, as a safety, interestingly enough, got switched to, I think, tight end and linebacker as a freshman in 2014, and then they moved him full-time to defensive end in 2015. Where he's been playing since then. So you would expect, right, as a former safety and a guy that's moved around to some other positions like linebacker and tight end, you'd expect a great athlete who's raw and doesn't necessarily know what they're doing technically at this point, right? But that's all you're getting. Like, I think it's the opposite, to be honest. I think Hubbard has taken on the technique. First year as a starter this past year. He played situationally the year before and was impressive in those situations. First year as a starter this past year. And I thought his technique and block recognition up front and ability to play the run at a high level, mainly due to mental processing and technique, was fantastic. I thought he was terrific at that all year. Where I thought he was really limited is I don't see a great athlete when I watch him at all, not in terms of range. A little bit of hip flexibility at the top of the arc, but again, I don't know that there's anything there to hang your hat on.
I see a good athlete, like, in terms of how big he is, you know.
You mean his size?
Yeah, like I think he's pretty big dude. You know, like I just looked that up. I think he gained 45 pounds since his recruiting, which is nuts.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what you got to do when you're going from safety to full-time defensive end.
Right.
I don't know. I thought
per pound he has good athleticism.
Sure. Yes. Yeah.
Because
like,
he's like 40 pounds bigger than Arden Key. But right, the same height. Listed the same height. Anyway.
It's hard to go from watching Arden Key and then watching Sam Hubbard. But I don't know. I think I'm going to give him a little bit more athleticism than you are, but that's just me.
I don't think he's very twitched up. Like, I don't see an explosive guy who threatens off the snap at all. And yeah, so if you're looking at those two big things, which is that twitched up ability to get off the snap and to threaten that edge right away and to get tackles into kind of a retreat. You open up inside rush lanes for yourself. I think he has that. He doesn't have that to the degree that he'll need to in the NFL to be able to be, you know, hang your hat on athletic traits, burst. I wouldn't say that he has that to an elite degree. And bend flexibility, it's better, I think, there. He's shown flashes of it, but if your burst doesn't really put you in a position to use that bend, it's a little bit tougher on you, I think, as a pass rusher. So he's going to have to win, I think, with technique, power moves. He does show the ability to be a bull rush guy. He plays low and leveraged and can get into your pad some. I think he definitely shows that ability. Again, counter moves are going to have to be an area he wins. Long arm techniques, but I think that he's a good player. I think this is a guy you want in your D-end room. There's more upside here with him, I think, because he hasn't played the position as long. He could, you know, that snap anticipation could come along. Some things could still come along with him. But I think you also, statistics don't tell everything, but when you marry them with the tape, they usually give you a great idea of the story when they support each other. And Hubbard had 6.5 sacks as like a situational type guy with Joey Bosa on the field, obviously, in 2015. Playing, like I said, a part-time role. The next season, he was a full-time starter for Ohio State, and they did still rotate guys occasionally, but only 3.5 sacks. And I thought that the tape really bore that out, that when he was on the field, teams knew what to expect from him a little bit more. There was more of him on tape to be able to study. They knew how to defend him better. I thought he struggled to really generate. And it wasn't like, oh, this guy could add 10 sacks if he just could tackle, like, you know, Carl Lawson 2 years ago and things like that. I just think, like, he just did not get himself in position to create a lot of pressure as a pass rusher. And I thought that bore itself out in him statistically. Like, I think he needs to have a much better season production-wise.
Can he is what I'm saying. Like, you're saying all these things about what he is, and I'm not saying I disagree with you, but when you talk about, like, oh, well, he needs to be a more productive pass rusher, like, is it just him getting different kinds of moves? Because, like you said, normally you're not going to be able to change the athlete that you are, mm-hmm. like, in a manner, right. or in a degree that's going to matter. So – you know, when you're a junior, you know, when you're 20, 21, 22 years old, you're basically who you are as an athlete. You're going to put on size. You're going to get stronger. You're going to get faster as you play a faster game in the NFL a little bit. But normally that doesn't change the kind of athlete you are. You just get – when you go to the NFL, you know, this is something that that I've learned just from listening to different people who do scouting. Your weaknesses normally don't get better. Your strengths just get stronger. Mm-hmm. So – you know, we talk about the things that a lot of, and that's why in scouting, we talk mostly about what these guys can do. And that's what we should be talking about, because at the NFL, when we talk about to get to NFL coaching, putting on NFL weight, getting in an NFL strength conditioning program, really becoming a pro, it's normally those good things that we see in college that just get better. And that's how you become the NFL player that you are. It's much more rare for us to see a weakness in a guy's game and him really get better at that.
And that's the weird thing, because I kind of just said it, and I did this to myself almost, but with Hubbard, I just kind of said, you know, there's opportunity for him to get better and potential there. You'd like to think that because of his experience, his level at the new position. And I think to some extent, it probably is true in terms of being able to play fast. Maybe he can improve his first step. There's little things like that he can get better at, some savvy things, but really, his technique is further along than his athleticism already, I think. I mean, he gives himself softer edges, stutter steps, clubs, swats at the top of the arc, works his hands really well. I think that stuff is all – he has that club and snatch move that he can do. You know, he did it in 2015 even. I think his hand usage came along so naturally at the position, and I think everybody at Ohio State raves about how fast he developed technically, you know, and to be able to have speed to power – he will take inside moves when they're necessary. But again, if you're looking for traits to hang your hat on to stuff translating to the NFL, I just don't think that he offers a ton in that way. So when you're talking about upside, like, can he be a guy that becomes a first rounder? Can he be a highly sought after prospect? I don't see any indication from his tape that he has that type of ability, that type of rare athleticism or anything like that. Where he would be better than, say, any of the guys who went in the first round last year in last year's draft, or any of the guys that should have gone, I should say, in the first round in last year's draft. So I don't know whether I see him as that type of player. Now, is he a guy that can be, you know, your third edge? You know, he can play from a 2-point stance, can play from a 3-point stance, probably. Right. You know, I think he can give you some versatility. Every team needs a guy like that. It's one of your most valuable reserves is your third pass
rusher.
He'll
play for sure.
Yeah, no question. But again, we're talking 5-star prospect that has the type of hype that was billed as the next Joey Bosa coming up, which is not fair to him. It's not. I mean, this guy absolutely plays as hard as humanly possible, nonstop motor, chases down absolutely everything. You know, if he gets taken down or knocked down, he's back up. He's chasing the ball. I mean, he's a dog out on the field. There's no question. You know, I think the teams are going to absolutely love what he offers as a technician, especially against the run, man. I mean, he could be in a situation in the NFL where he plays those early downs and then somebody else is kind of coming in maybe on the long and late downs, or, you know, maybe it's a rotation, but he's really good against the run. Really good edge setter, really good technique.
I was going to say, I think this is a guy who can really hold the point of attack.
Yeah,
I think.
Definitely.
You could boost him up however much you want. You know, pass rushers make all the money. Pass rushers are the ones that go in the top 20. But, I mean, if you're talking about a guy anywhere after the top 20, I know you said even the late first round's a little rich on you for Hubbard still. You got to see more from him. But, you know, if we're talking about a late first round guy, I think that Hubbard could possibly be in that range, because I do think that he has just such natural strength. I think he moves well. He's not twitched up, like you said, but I think he moves well. He's got functional strength for a guy that has that kind of size, and he's going to put more size on the NFL. And I already think that he holds the point of attack, really commands the point of attack now in college. So that's something that teams are going to covet as well. I'm noticing that too, covering the Bucs more and more in depth. They make sure that they have guys like that on their team. So a guy like Sam Hubbard is certainly going to have a place in the NFL.
Yeah, and this is such a big year for him, not only in terms of – because last year was kind of disappointing, at least production-wise. I think, again, if you peel back the layers of the tape, you see some good things because he developed in ways that you would really want a first-year starter to develop. He really showed those things. But I think the production wasn't really there. The upside really wasn't noticeable with him. So I think this is a huge season for him. He is only a redshirt junior, so there will be the opportunity to go back for another year, you know, regardless of what happens this season, if he desires. That'll be up to him. But I think it's a huge season for him, huge season for Tyquan Lewis, who's a redshirt senior, and partially because Nick Bosa is coming. You know, he's a sophomore, and he's going to be coming for their reps. Jalen Holmes is a guy that's going to be coming for some reps. They're pretty good on the inside. Dremont Jones really impressed me when I was watching some tape, and Robert Landers, both redshirt sophomores. Michael Hill's still in the mix there as a redshirt senior interior defensive lineman. So a lot is going to be expected of this defensive line group, I think, this season. Last year, they got, you know, Hubbard first year as a starter, Bosa first year there. I think that there were some people were like kind of easing in, okay, ease your expectations. Jordan and Landers were super young. I think both of their first years playing. So it was just a really young group, but tons of talent. Like I said, the stars, 5-star for Hubbard, 4-star for Lewis. Bosa, I know, was up there in that area. I don't know how many exactly he was, but he was a sought-after prospect. And so, yeah, a lot of guys like that on this defensive line, a lot's going to be expected of them as a unit. And you would think with more development, you know, Hubbard and Lewis are going to see a lot of one-on-one matchups on the outside, and they're going to have to take advantage of those, I think, not only for Iowa State to be productive, but for their draft stock to kind of grow at the same time, because I think that both have limitations that could be camouflaged some if they are able to have really productive seasons. We've seen teams go for that in the past, although it does seem like more and more NFL teams are valuing athleticism and upside at those edge spots. So we'll see what happens with Hubbard and Lewis, but two guys that I think are fun to watch because they're both dogs on the field and they both really get after it. Again, pretty good run defenders, but when you look at upside and traits, I don't know how much do they offer in terms of that being, you know, really high end stuff anyway, at least, you know, first round type stuff. And I do like Hubbard a little bit more than Lewis, I will say that. And I think Hubbard can be a starter in the NFL. I just think you're always going to kind of limited in what you get from him production wise, because I don't know that he'll be an elite athlete or anything like that. He probably will be one of those guys that tests like pretty well at the combine, but on tape, you just don't see it translate, because like athleticism through contact can sometimes be a little bit different. And I don't know if he always shows that. But because he played safety and all that stuff, he's doing all those drills and how to move and all that stuff. You know, he's probably got good hops. And so you may see something like that with Hubbard by the time next year's combine rolls around. Well, we've talked about Arden Key, Harold Landry, Tyquan Lewis, Sam Hubbard. We still have a couple guys to get to. Here, I'm going to try and say it. I just finished watching him, and he's really interesting. Ogbonia Okoronkwo, I think is how you say it.
We're going to have him on the show just to sun you in how to say his name.
Oh, man, I would actually really appreciate that, because having to write it a million times this season is going to be really tough. Cleland Farrell from Clemson, the redshirt sophomore. Bradley Chubb from North Carolina State. Josh Sweat from Florida State. Deshaun Hand from Alabama. Those are names you can expect to hear us rolling out in the next couple days to keep this edge rusher class rolling through. But a lot of fun names. It might be the most fun position to scout on the defensive side of the ball, at least. You know, it's like quarterback. I mean, I'll be honest, on the defensive side of the ball, it's that type of value of a position. So if somebody can establish themselves and really show that they've got upside heading into this season, Josh Sweat's a guy that I'm excited to watch, because I've barely seen any of him. Wasn't he hurt last year, like most or all the year?
Yeah, he's been hurt in the past, yeah.
So I'm really excited to see him, because I think he's listed like 6'5 or something, 6'5, 250 over at Florida State. Yeah,
He's a big boy, and he was a pretty talented pass rusher coming in. So
yeah, I'm excited to get to him. And Duke – Geofor. I don't know if I said his name right either. From Wake Forest, I've seen a little bit of him. We'll discuss him as well because I know he's got his fan group out there as well. So keep it locked right here, man. We're talking pass rushers all week right here on Locked On NFL Draft.